Just remain standing, if you will, and turn to Revelation chapter number 3. I'll try to preach as quick as I can, as the Lord will allow. I don't want to hold you unneedfully, but at the same time, I want to mind the Lord and accomplish what needs to be done, and trust and pray that He'll guide us in that. I appreciate the good service, the good testimony, the good spirit. Amen. God is so good. We fail so often, but we've got a God that never has, never will fail. Amen. Never has failed, and never will fail, and we can thank God for that. Amen. I got talking about birthdays, my birthday being tomorrow. Miss Ann's got a birthday on Thursday. Hope she has a happy one. Amen. And I want to remember her on that, and pray that she'll have a happy birthday this Thursday. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 14 is the text that we start with and read down through the end of the chapter. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. At this time, I'll ask Brother Hall if he will lead us in prayer.
Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the good time
you've
given us.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the good saying and the good testimony and the fellowship that we've enjoyed.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your divine presence, giving us grace to help even in the Sunday school hour to get in there, not on through the preaching.
Yes. Help and bless.
I pray that you'll bless our pastor today. That the Lord, fill him with the Spirit of God, use him in a mighty way. Touch your people. Touch his Lord. Give us of our sins. Give us grace that we might love and serve you.
Yes.
Bless us here in the house of God. And I'll pray.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated, and I appreciate that prayer. Today we take our second look at this third point in the letter to the church of the Laodiceans, and I really believe this is the focal point of the letter. This letter, unlike the other six letters to the seven churches, this letter does not contain any admiration. We noticed there was one other that did not as well. But this one, unlike the others, the focus is not in the overcomer. The focus is not in the works that have been done. Neither is the focus in anything other than the admonition. The focal point is in Christ dealing with the error that is involved in this church. He's chastising them for their lukewarm condition, even saying that that condition has sickened him. And we looked at that last Sunday. And to be honest with you, especially on a day like this where I feel good in my spirit, it's not fun or pleasant to be talking about areas that we need to get closer to the Lord. That's what's the word I'm looking for. Brother Hinkle Little used to talk about scrooch up close to Jesus. Y'all understand that kind of language? Scrooch up close to Jesus and just love on Him a little bit. We need that. We need to get closer to the Lord. Amen. And there's no doubt in my mind that probably every single one of us could stand to draw a little closer unto our Lord. Amen.
And he deserves our praise, as we was talking about already. He deserves our praise not just in glory, but he deserves it now. Amen. And so we ought to praise him and glorify him in our life. Amen. But looking at this, we've looked at their lukewarm condition, the fact that the Lord said that he was ready to spew them out of his mouth. We're getting ready to move on a little bit further in this study. I won't finish it this morning, but we'll try to come back here tonight, Lord willing. But today I want us to notice the personal testimony of these Laodiceans. And then I want us to notice the pitiful truth concerning their actual case. Look with me in verses 15 through 18. We've already looked at verse 15 a little bit, but let's look at it again together. 15 through 18, this is the admonition. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And so we see the sickening state of the church. But look at verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now, we've looked, as I said already, at verse number 15. We broke it down into two parts. Our Lord said, I know thy works. And then he said, I know that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. We looked at verse number 16 and we saw the third thing. He said, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now this is scathing rebuke from our Lord. And this rebuke that he gave should cause each of us to do a personal checkup in our own spiritual life. Check our own spiritual temperature, so to speak. And not just upon ourselves, but upon the life of the church. Amen. Now, I have noticed this in the past, in pastoring for a number of years there in North Carolina. I noticed that a lot of times people would come to me, or else they would just stand, and they would like to give the temperature of the entire congregation. And most of the time, what they were really doing was they were showing us what their temperature was. I found out that when the number of people, a lot of times, that when they stand up, for example, and they say, nobody cares about anybody in this church. The fact is, they're showing their carelessness.
Right.
Usually that's the case. Usually they are broadcasting and putting their blame on everybody else. And so I'm not asking you to check the temperature of the church. I'm asking you to check yours. I'm not asking you to check mine. I'm not trying to check yours. I'm not trying to check the temperature of the church, so to speak. But if we'll do that individually, and we'll get red hot individually, you know what will happen in the church? It'll change the temperature of the church. Amen. Amen. It'll change the temperature of the whole thing. Matter of fact, we sing the song, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. There's a verse in there that said, it says, all the world is bright since I got right. Isn't that amazing? Everybody got helped when I got right. That's what the song says. Amen. And I have noticed that a lot of times that everything does look better when we just get our own eyes checked. Amen. We just get our own spiritual temperature checked. We get our own self fixed up with the Lord. It's amazing how it helps everybody else. All of a sudden, everybody else has got a better attitude. Amen. Amen. Well, check our own temperature. Our Lord is rebuking this church of the Laodiceans. And he said, we need to hear this. He doesn't say we need to hear this so that he doesn't invite us into the bedroom where he is spanking his child so that we can stand back and say, boy, look at there. Yeah, that youngin' deserved it. No, he invites us in there so that we'll know we might be next in line. Right? I mean, there was a time too when I was a boy, me and my brother would get into a scuffle. You don't believe that, but once in a while we would. We'd get into a scuffle and daddy whipped both of us, and it's almost as bad watching him whoop my brother as it was knowing I'm next. Amen. And if I laughed when he's whooping my brother, I got it worse. Amen. I know that by experience. Here's where I'm going with that. My point is, Our Lord invites us to see how He deals with the church at Laodicea, because He's going to deal with us. And He wants us to see that and help give us an opportunity to make things right. Amen. Now, we surely do not wish to be guilty of making our Lord sick. We don't want to make our Lord cause to be sickened to the point of regurgitation. That's what He said that He was with this church here. Now, I'm going to move on in just a minute, but it is my personal observation that the only thing more saddening and more scary than this scathing rebuke in verse 16 is the pride and the ignorance and the apathy that's found in verse 17. Look with me in verse 17. And by the way, mankind can be seriously blindsided by sin and error. It's happened over and over. Look at verse 17. Because He's just said, I'm sick. And I'm sick because, so then because thou art lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Then He gives another because. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. First, that's their personal testimony. And that's their public testimony. Just like the church at Sardis, they have a name that they are alive. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Amen. And so they have a public testimony, a personal testimony. By the way, it's not just what everybody else is saying about them. This is what they're saying about themselves. They are bragging up their good points. Amen. Amen. And the Lord saying, but the problem is you don't have any good points. Amen. So we see here their public testimony and then the pitiful truth. Knowest not. That's the worst thing. Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind, and naked. So our Lord gives here this continue in this rebuke unto the church at Laodicea, or the church of the Laodiceans. And He's talking about the iniquity of the pastor and the iniquity of the church there, the folks, the people of the church, that sickens the Lord to the point that He's ready to vomit them forth from His presence. And He stated specifically that it is because of their lukewarm state. But I say He must have also been sickened by their pride, because pride sickens our God. There are six things God hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. And the first one on the list is a proud look. God hates pride. Amen. God hates it. And we'll say more about that. He's sickened at their pride. And He's sickened at their ignorance as well. And He plainly rebukes them for this self-conceit in the state that they're in. It's bad enough that they thought themselves to be rich and increased with goods. They thought so highly themselves. They were so proud, they spoke about it. They testified to it. They announced their arrogance. Amen. It's as if, and you hear it said as a joke, I actually heard it happen one time, a man in they called it an Anabaptist meeting. It was trying to blend Amish and Baptist together, and they were highly separated. They were pretty pharisaical, but a man made this statement. He said, I want to thank God that He made me so humble. That was his words. And he was proud of his humility. And we're serious about it. Here's a church that is bragging up their good points. These are people that are boasting of how well they are, how well off they are. Notice that Jesus is angry. He said, because thou sayest. He was angered that they were boasting of their wealth. He was angered that they supposed themselves in a superior position to others. Amen. We had a fellow come to Vision when I was there at one time. He made this statement. He made it a number of times. He would say something like this. He'd say, this is the best church on the planet. And our pastor is the best preacher in the world. And every time he'd say that, I'd say, if we are, we're in a mess. And that's right, ain't it? Now, after a while, it took him a few months. He quit saying I was the best pastor on the planet. Amen. And after a while, he didn't think we was the best church on the planet. He moved on. But here's my point in that, and my statement is, if we think we're it, sometimes, by the way, friends, we got to be careful, because sometimes we do look down our nose at others. We're not doing what others are doing. Amen. We're not, and we say, well, since we've not gone contemporary, since we've not gone charismatic, since we've not gone modern and thrown all this stuff out, since we're standing for the old time way, if we're not careful, we'll get our spiritual galluses out and we'll think we're really doing something good when in truth, we're hurting our own self. If we could say it this way, we're cutting our own throat. Amen. Because of the pride that is there. God hates pride. Amen. It has been my personal observation that those people who brag on themselves are not nearly as great as they think they are. They suppose themselves to be. Usually they're not the spiritual giants they suppose themselves to be. Matter of fact, I'll just say it this way, it's the way I wrote it in my notes. Braggarts are fools who imagine themselves to be wise. But their foolishness becomes obvious the more they talk. Amen. And that's the case of some people, and it's the case of this church of the Laodiceans. The city of Laodicea was a very wealthy city. And therefore, naturally, the people in the church may have been very wealthy themselves, relatively wealthy as well. But I'll say this, money does not equal spiritual prosperity. Amen. Money does not equal spiritual prosperity. And most of us can thank God that it doesn't. Amen. It appears that these people were bragging about their opulence. I mean, they probably had a fine building and it's all decked out and wore fine clothes and all this thing. They had all this opulence and they actually mistook their monetary success for spiritual prosperity and spiritual wealth. They were so satisfied in their own estimation of themselves that they became blind to the true state that they lived in. Amen. They could not see the state of affairs. They were boasting of their wonderful success in the very moment when, in Christ's estimation, they lacked anything of real value. Amen. It's just as Brother Hall was talking about, get out a measuring stick and measure ourselves. Amen. Sometimes we think we're doing pretty good, and if we would notice and we'd use God's measuring stick, we'd find out we're not doing as well as we think we are. Now, there is a tendency in human beings to imagine ourselves to be better situated than we actually are. Isn't that right? Amen. And we are warned in several scriptures about the deception of the flesh. If you want to turn, we'll look at a few in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. At verse number 12, I've got a number of these written down. If you'll follow along, we'll look at them together. The Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." They brag up their own self. By the way, in a presidential election year, you hear a lot of that. Men and now women that are boasting of how good they are. They are single-handedly the hope of America. They are single-handedly the ones that's going to change everything and make it good. I didn't mean to mention hope and change, but that's the idea that these men and women promote. They're it. And by the way, if we're not careful in the spiritual world, we'll get to thinking we're it. And again, when we think that, we're not. Paul said, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." Look, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It's not wise to measure yourself by your neighbor. Well, I'm doing better than the fella sitting on the pew in front of me or the person sitting on the pew behind me. I'm doing better than the person across the street. I'm doing better than others are, people in my own family, or on and on and on it goes. God's not asking us who we're doing better than. He's asking us, what are we doing? Amen. He's not going to compare us with others. Matter of fact, there's one comparison. He's going to measure us by the Lord Jesus. And we're not going to measure up. Amen. He's going to measure us by the Lord. Look at Romans chapter 12, a very familiar verse, I'm sure, but Romans 12 and verse number 3. Romans 12 and verse number 3. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So underline that phrase, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There is a tendency in mankind to do that. Turn over a few pages to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 3. For if a man think himself to be something. You ever seen that? Boy, you think you're something. That's what Grandma used to say. You think you're something. Well, that's what that came right out of the Bible. Galatians 6, 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, that does not just mean if he's mistaken about the fact that he's something. No, it means we're all nothing. We're all a big zero. Amen. Brother Sammy says we're a zero with the rim knocked off. Amen. That's right. Here's another thing Brother Samuel's talking about. When we get to thinking we're really worth something, we're really making an impact in this world, he said, get you a 5-gallon bucket, fill it up with water. He said, ram your hand down in it and jerk it out quick as you can. And however big the hole is that you leave in that bucket is how important you are. And that's right, isn't it? When we're gone, we're going to be forgotten. There'll be some people that remember us. But I'm talking about if time stands and the days go on, there have been numerous men and women that thought the world couldn't live without them and the world couldn't spin without them. And they're gone and the world's still spinning and the sun's still coming up and we've forgotten their names. Amen. I'm simply saying we're not nearly as important as we might want to think that we are. Now, one more time in 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6 and verse number 17, I believe he deals with the very issue that was at fault in the church of the Laodiceans. And they were trusting in their riches. They were saying, they were boasting that they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. And they may have been wealthy as far as money's concerned, but they were not wealthy in the Spirit. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Amen. Now turn back to Romans chapter 11. Paul saying to Timothy, Timothy, you instruct them that do have money. He talked to him about instructing those that will be rich to be careful lest they drown themselves in perdition, many hurtful and foolish causes and snares. And so he's saying to him here, he said, those that do have money, though, tell them to be careful that they don't trust in that money. Amen. Now, Romans chapter number 11 and verse number 20. He's talking about the Gentiles being grafted in. And I don't have time to read all these verses, but look at verse number look back at verse number 19 to get the thought. Thou wilt say then, the branches are broken off that I may be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare thee not. Amen. Friend, when you see the drunk on the street and you're boastful and you say, I'm glad that I'm not like him. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I have. I go to church every Sunday. I don't drink my booze. I don't live wicked like that. And you get that prideful attitude in your heart. You better realize that it's only the grace of God that kept you out of the gutter. It's only the grace of God that put you in the family of God. It's only the grace of God that washed your sins away and made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Don't boast and don't be high-minded in our religion. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Pride. God hates pride. But the worst kind of pride, top on the list, is spiritual pride. Amen. God hates it. And I'll say this, and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'll give you time to turn, and I'll say this while you're turning. Listen, keep your ears on while you're turning. Can you do that? Can you multitask? There is no room for pride in the life of a Christian. Amen. There is no room for pride in the life of a church. Amen. God help us, because God hates pride and God opposes pride on every hand. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. I'm going to read three verses there. Verses 26 down through verse 28. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse number 26. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. That's almost like the beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. And with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory. And the afflicted people thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. Here's what God said, and this has been said of God. David is saying this in a psalm. But he's saying of the Lord, he said, Lord, you're a good God. You're a merciful God. And to those that look for mercy, they can find it in you. But when you see somebody get up on a pedestal, you're going to knock them off that pedestal. That's what David said. When you see somebody getting lifted up, and by the way, you know why? Because Satan started that business when he said, I will be like the Most High. When he said, I will exalt my throne above the very throne of God. Satan started that, and God sent him down. And everybody else that exalts themselves, God has purpose, and He's going to bring them down as well. Amen. He hates pride. Turn on over to Proverbs 6. I quoted this a little bit ago, Proverbs 6, 16. We'll run through some of these and move on. Proverbs 6 and verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Amen. Now notice the very first thing on his list of those six things that God hates, and then he mentions seven that are an abomination. That very first thing is a proud look. Amen. Now, turn on over to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, and while you're turning there, I'm going to read to you Isaiah 10. Matthew 23 is where you're turning. In Isaiah chapter number 10 and verse number 33, the Bible says, Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bough with terror, and the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. That's what he said in Isaiah 10:33. The haughty shall be humbled. We're living in a day of pride. We've got gay pride. We've got black pride. We've got rich pride. We've got religious pride. We've got white pride. We've got every kind of pride in the world. And we think we've got a right to be proud. And God said, I'm going to knock down the haughty. I'm going to humble. I'm going to humiliate the haughty. I'm telling you, listen, you people stand up and say, well, that bunch of ISIS, they're just second rate. They're just a JV team. God may very well let them with their little pop guns destroy our intelligence if we boast ourselves in our intelligence. Amen. If we boast ourselves in ourselves and we think, boy, we've got it all, God might let some little ragtag bunch make a fool out of us, and that is exactly what He's doing. Amen. Matthew 23, I told you we turned there, verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And let me read that again. Let me find it. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Amen. Luke 14:11 says the same thing. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, two more verses. Look in James chapter 6. Two more verses on this point, and I'm going to move on. Talking about the pride of these people. That's what Christ hated. James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4 and verse number 6. I know this is familiar, but it'd help us remember it and rehearse it again. James 4, 6. But he, talking about God, giveth more grace. Thank God He does. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. That is quoted again in 1 Peter chapter 5, just a few pages over. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. By the way, we live in a generation that thinks all the other generations was a bunch of fools. They were a bunch of idiots. They didn't know anything. They didn't have anything. And now we've arrived and we're going to show the world what really living is. And God says the younger ought to submit to the elder. Amen. Amen. I know I don't have time to chase this rabbit, but I believe I need to say something about it. We need to learn again, and we need to teach again our children. We need to learn it to respect our elders.
Amen.
Amen. To have some respect for the gray head the Bible talks about. Amen.
Right.
It deserves, someone, I can say that. I'm about to turn 50. I'm getting there, Brother Ricky. Amen. I'm getting there. No, but seriously. He says that let the younger submit themselves to the elder. Let me read on. I got carried away on that. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, there's a quote, and giveth grace to the humble. That's quoted twice in the New Testament. It's a quote from the Old. And he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The idea is this, is that when a man exalts himself, God sets himself against him. God gets on the side. When a man draws a line, God gets on the other side and says, all right, you want to fight? We'll fight. He says, if you want to exalt yourself, I'm going to fight against you. By the way, on the other side of that coin, if a man humbles himself, God will get on his side. Amen. And God will go to blessing him, and God will go to helping him. Amen. And so we can give God glory for the mercy and the grace of God that allowed us to be humbled in His presence. Amen. But when we get exalted and we get to thinking that we're really something, these people at the Church of the Laodiceans, their crime primarily was their boastful attitude. They began to boast of their riches. They had been doing good apparently. And by the way, if they had been doing really good before they started boasting, God would have been angered at their boasting. But the fact that they had done nothing, the fact that they were bankrupt already, the fact that they were the worst of all the churches and thought they were the best, that really angered the Lord. And I believe that's right. Now, notice their boast. We're back in Revelation 4 or 3 and verse number 17. Notice their boast. Three things they said. I am rich. I am increased with goods. And I have need of nothing. I am rich. I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. I'm rich. I'm going to deal with that. They thought they possessed riches. This is self-complacency. They're like the rich man that said, so take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry, for thou hast much goods laid up for many years, or many days. I forgot exactly how I said it. And the Lord said, thou fool. Not that it was wrong for him to have riches, but it's wrong for him to trust in those riches. Amen. We're living at the mercy of God. Doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. There may not be as much money in that bank as you think there is in that bank. Amen. We cannot trust in our riches. It's evident that this church here of the Laodiceans, that they did not place value on the same things that God placed value upon. The things that pleased God was not things that they counted on. They put their value in gold. They put their value probably in education. They put their value in their buildings. They put their value in worldly appeal. Whereas God places value in prayer. God places value in humility, in truth, in conviction, and in salvation. That's what God places value in. Amen. Not only they boasted I'm rich, but they said I'm increased with goods. It's as if they imagined they had reached some plateau and they were looking down on everybody else. Amen. That they had reached that plateau. They praised their own works. They trusted in their own abilities and in their own accomplishments. This is not only being self-complacent, but this has been self-assured in self-acquired riches.
Right.
They said, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You ever had to discipline your child for doing something? When you, for example, you called them. Let's say they pulled a chair up to the countertop and they're getting ready to get into something they know they're not supposed to get into. And you walk up and you say, "What are you doing?" And they say, "I'm doing good." It don't cause you to say, "Oh, my honey, yes, you are." No, you say, "I'm going to teach you what good is and what good ain't." Amen. And that's what the Lord is doing with this church. They say, "I'm doing good." God's saying, "You're not doing good. And I'm going to show you the difference." Then they said, "I have need of nothing." They actually believed that they had no room for improvement. This is self-conceit and self-deception at its worst. Amen. We know from reading the rest of this letter that Christ is on the outside of this particular church, the church of the Laodiceans. He's on the outside trying to gain entrance. He's on the outside knocking that he might gain entrance. He was not even present in their midst. He was not even welcomed in their assemblies. And yet they thought and they boasted that we're doing good. And they weren't doing good. Matter of fact, they thought they were doing better than everybody else. And I'll say this, and I'm moving on. This is so true of America. We have banished Christ from our schools. We have banished Christ from our courtrooms, our government buildings. We have no room for God in public places. Amen. And let me say, when we say that, I wonder if we might ought to check up ourselves and see if we have been guilty of banishing God from our own homes and from our own lives. Amen. This church of the Laodiceans, thought they were doing good, and Christ was not even welcome in their assemblies. Amen. Do we have time for Him? Do we have a place for Him in our life? Now notice what He goes on to say, verse 17. I'm almost done. Verse number 17 starts out, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." Look at this. "And knowest not." He sees their ignorance. This is their diagnosis. We saw their boast. This is what he said about them. "Thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." I want to deal with those if I can. Those five things real quickly of their diagnosis. He said thou art wretched. First of all, scholars say that the Greek word there translated wretched really carries the idea the wretched. The most wretched. In other words, these people that thought themselves so well off that they could brag about how good they were doing were really not well off. They were bad off. And they were sick. Didn't even know it. Obviously, the people of the church of the Laodiceans had been, if they had been asked to rank themselves among the seven churches of Asia, they would have all unanimously said, "We'll be number one." And Christ said, "No, you're at the bottom. You're the least. You're the worst of them all. Most wretched." Not only wretched, they are wretched and miserable. And by the way, that does not mean that they felt miserable. They didn't feel miserable. They thought they were doing good. That word miserable means pitiful. You're pitiful, is what the Lord's saying. They needed to be pitied. Amen. They were in need of being pitied for their shameful condition. Amen. And I could say something about that, but I'll skip it and come back another day. All right. They're miserable. They're pitiful. Number three, they're poor. And that really means they're spiritual paupers. They were actually beggars who would imagine themselves to be millionaires. Amen. Poor and blind. They were unable to see or evaluate their own condition. In boasting about their amazing insights, they were actually blind to their own condition of spiritual poverty. And then the last one, he said, "You're naked." And that word actually means nude. It gives the idea of being exposed. Amen. I think about it. Sometimes, you know, the Bible talks about woe unto him that calleth good evil and evil good. And we live in a day that's doing that. I mean, I mean literally doing that. When they say, "Boy, that's bad," they mean good. "Oh, that's wicked," they mean good. They're doing exactly what the Bible said they would do. They're calling evil good and good evil. But we're living in a day when people actually like to boast and they think that they are something when they can show their nakedness. They think they're proud of their nakedness. They put it on these what do they call all them things? I know they put it on Facebook. They put it on their phones. They'll send those pictures and all that kind of stuff. And they're bragging about it all around the world. Their nudity. And God said it's a shame. It's shameful. Amen. Well, this church was nude. The idea is that they didn't know it, but everybody could see right through their cloak. They thought they were doing real good. They were bragging about how good they were doing, but everybody knew better. They could see their fake and phony attitude. It's like the fable of the king. You remember the story of the king that wear no clothes? Remember that story? Some of you do. And how that this king was, he was proud of how wise he was and how much money he had and all this. And these people convinced him to pay big money to have this tailor come and make him all new clothes. And he did, but he didn't make him new clothes. And everybody stood back and the king's standing there naked. And he knows he didn't see no clothes, but he thinks everybody else can see it. And so he's convinced in his own wisdom. They're bragging and saying, boy, the king's beautiful. The king's not. Look at the king's new robes. And they brag him up till he parades himself down the street. And they get the crowds out to admire the king's new clothes. And one little boy pulls on his mama's skirt tail and says, but mama, the king ain't wearing no clothes. And our Lord said to this church here of the Laodiceans, you think you're dressed up pretty nice. The truth is, everybody can see through that. That's what he's saying. Now, I'm almost ready to close. You may be wishing I already had. You may be ready. I'm closing. But I'll say this, and I'm serious. We need to do an investigation. God's good. We bragged on God, and we should. But we ought to look at ourselves and recognize maybe we're not as good as we thought we were, and there is room for improvement. Here's what I'm going to say. I'll put this note here. Satan loves to make a fool out of people. Amen. Look around at people in this world, and you will observe one after another that have been duped by the devil and made into a fool, made into a laughingstock. And the devil just sits back and laughs about it. He loves to make a fool out of people. But I believe there is a special, perverse joy when he makes a fool out of God's people.
Right.
When he makes a fool out of a Christian or a religious person. When he can trick them into becoming a fool, he sits back and he laughs real big. I'm going to read you some verses. You don't have to turn there. They're out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 12:15. He says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. I'm going to read that again because we ought to take heed. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Amen. Now, turn back with me to Luke 18. I alluded to this a little bit ago, and I'm closing with this thought. I'm going to break in right here, and I'm going to try to show you an important parallel, I believe, and comparison. The danger that is presented by this church of the Laodiceans is a very real and present danger. Amen. By the way, if you're sitting in the congregation, you're thinking, I don't know who he's preaching to, but he sure ain't preaching to me. You're probably deceived. Because I'm preaching to all of us. Amen. It's a real and present danger. When a person gets frostbite, you know what happens? They don't feel it. They don't feel it. When a limb's gets frozen, it don't feel frozen. It's when life starts coming, when the blood starts going flowing back through it, that the pain starts coming because that pain is evidence that there is life there. I'm telling you, if we can sit and we don't feel anything at the preaching of the Word of God and the singing of the songs of Zion, we don't feel it, we better examine ourselves. Amen. Luke 18, 9 through 14 tells us the story of this Pharisee and the publican. And you know the truth of this religious Pharisee. He thought he needed no help. Thought he needed no improvement. And by the way, he didn't get any help. 18 verse number 9. The Bible says, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Here's his parable. "Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Amen. Are we willing to allow the Holy Ghost to search our own heart and say, "Lord, root out any pride that's in me. Root out anything in me that you dislike. I might think it's gold, Lord, but you might see it as something of no value. Lord, I might think that I'm doing good, but you can see through it. And probably others can see through it. And we need to ask God to search us and to help us with it." Let's stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Although it is stinging, it is a stinging rebuke that you gave to the church of the Laodiceans. Stinging rebuke that you give to me in my own life. Lord, help me not to trust in my own heart, not to trust in my own strength, but help me to stand in the power of the Lord, in the power of thy might, Lord, to stand. Not my might, but in thy might, Lord, help me to stand. Father, help us. I am thankful for this good church. I am thankful for the stand they've made down through the years. But Lord, help us not to exalt ourselves or even measure ourselves by ourselves. But help us look to thee and say, "Lord, can you help us move up a little closer? Can you help us gain a little ground? We've not reached that pinnacle yet. We've not arrived yet, Lord. Help us to press toward the mark. Help us to keep on keeping on. Keep on gaining ground. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen." While we sing, if the Lord spoke to your heart, you need to come pray. Listen, this is not a time just to dig in and hold ground. It's time to gain ground. Grow closer to the Lord. Draw nigh unto Him. While we sing, if you need to come, obey the Lord. 167, do you need to come?